Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Grantharaja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki, Nitai Goprem Anandi. So what do we discuss in our previous class?
Various times the compatibility was looked upon, and now practically we have to look on the spiritual platform marriage.
Any other points?
Krishna has come as incarnation in the form of Hare Krishna movement.
Good. Anything else?
Fundamental rule of everyone is qualified or segregated by their qualities and not by birth. It was saying even in Ram's birth and his activities, what is expected.
Good. Any other points?
Brahma is not by birth, but by action and activity.
That's good. What else? Okay, so we'll continue. So tonight we'll go from verses 16 to 41. I'll finish the chapter. So the chapter is entitled The Lord's Warrior Incarnation. So hearing more about the Leela or the pastime of Parashuram and how he protects his father, and that's a powerful chapter. So, King Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami, what was the offense that the Kshatriyas, who could not control their senses, committed before Lord Parashuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for which the Lord annihilated the Kshatriya dynasty again and again? Shukadev Goswami said, the best of the Kshatriyas, Kartavir Arjuna, the king of the Haihayas, received 1,000 arms by worshipping Dattatreya, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. He also became undefeatable by enemies and received unobstructed sensory power, beauty, influence, strength, fame, and the mystic power by which to achieve all the perfections of yoga, such as anima, alakima. Thus, having become fully opulent, he roamed all over the universe without opposition, just like the wind. So we're going to hear in this chapter that this particular demon, Asura, his name is Kartavir Arjuna. So he is so powerful that he even defeats Ravana. So we know Ravana is famous as being practically the most powerful of the demons. But he is so powerful, you see, that even Ravana becomes subjugated by Kartavir Arjuna. So we can just imagine how powerful this demon must be. So what does it show us? It shows us how powerful Parashuram must be, because Parashuram defeats Kartavir Arjuna, who is practically undefeatable even by Ravana. So extremely potent personality. So we have to meditate very deeply on all of these pastimes, because these pastimes are meant to show us the supremacy or the Aishwarya of Krishna, how powerful Krishna is. So you have to meditate on how powerful these demons are. Because when you meditate on how powerful the demons are, then you will get realization of how powerful Krishna is. These are not like ordinary demons. And there's many pastimes in the 10th canto where Krishna, every chapter in the beginning of the 10th canto, is killing a different demon. And we will hear when we study the 10th canto, we will hear about the powerful, powerful demons who are there in the pastimes of Krishna. And when you understand how powerful each of the demons are, then you'll understand how powerful Krishna actually is. These are not ordinary demons. No. They're practically, the most powerful living entities who have ever walked in this world. Kartavirya Arjuna has defeated Ravan. Ravan is amazingly powerful. So this shows. So Kartavirya Arjuna defeats Ravana. Right? Parashuram defeats Kartavirya Arjuna. And Ramachandra defeats Parashuram. So this shows you how powerful Ramachandra is. And Krishna is more powerful than Ramachandra. So this shows you how powerful Krishna is ultimately. So all these pastimes are leading us to the 10th canto, where we'll understand the potency of Krishna.
Parashuram is incarnation of the Lord.
Shaktyadesh. Yeah, so it's like a jiva who is empowered by God. He's not actually Vishnu Tattva.
So Ram defeats.
In the Ramayana, they meet, and then Parashuram realizes that he is too powerful. He defeats him. Yeah. So Ramachandra is the most powerful, except for Krishna. Any points?
How did Prithivirajan got so much strength? How did he got the secret?
It says here that he worshipped Dattatreya. Yeah, Dattatreya, who is like a plenary portion of Vishnu. Then Devasamuni is a plenary portion of Shiva. And then Soma is coming from Brahma. And then Dattatreya is coming from Vishnu himself. So he worshipped him and he became very powerful. Okay. Any other points?
So Parashuram is a Sakya Vishnu.
Whose incarnation is like a Lord's husband? No, because Shakti means one who is the Jiva. But the Jiva is empowered with Shakti by Krishna. So it's like the Jiva has the power of God himself, so he acts like he is God, but actually he is the Jiva. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah. So when he came before Ramachandra, then he was not so powerful.
Because I was listening to a lecture of the Purushottam Swami Maharaj, and he mentioned that we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there is a Rama, is a
for Lord Ramchandra, Balram, and Parshu. So, that's why I was asking
that. When we chant Hare Rama, then we can meditate on Ram, Parashuram, and Balaram, yeah. But usually I've heard Prabhupada say Balaram and Ram and Krishna himself, because Krishna is known as Radha Raman. So Krishna, Balaram, and Ramachandra. I haven't heard Parashuram. Maybe something is there, I don't know. But I haven't heard. I mean, if you want to meditate on Parashuram, you can. But it means he's carrying an axe and different type of meditations.
The Lord's expansion between Krishna and Rama, both are same. So how do you understand that Krishna is more powerful than the other forms of Krishna?
Yeah, because it means he is the original form of God. So because he is the original form, then he has this supreme potency and he can bewilder even the others. You'll see in the 10th canto there is the pastime of the Brahma Vimohana Lila. So in that pastime then we see the potency of Krishna, because Balaram becomes bewildered for 1 year. Right? Balaram cannot understand that Krishna has expanded as all the cows and the boys. And after 1 year, because Krishna covers him with Yoga Maya, And then after 1 year, then Balaram, he thinks, and he says to Krishna, is something different? And Krishna says, well, actually, Brahma took the boys, and then I manifested as everyone. Mm-hmm. So Krishna shows that even amongst these incarnations, and Balaram is the first incarnation, but still he is the source of everyone, so he has more power, you can say. It's like a chincha beta beta tattva. They are the same, but they are different. But still he is the original, like the one candle lights all the other candles. So he is the source of everything. So it says that in Vrindavan, all of the incarnations are in Krishna. But when he has pastimes with the gopis, then there's a shakti that takes the incarnations out, so that Krishna can just be alone with the gopis. So even though they are the same as him, but still he is the origin of all of them. Does it make sense? Or?
Yes.
Any other point?
Srila Prabhupada is a shakti avishyata.
To a degree.
But he's...
Well, he's very powerful. Yeah, he's very, whether we say Shaktivesh avatar, maybe, I don't know. But he's very, very, very powerful. Maybe. Maybe so. Any other point?
Lord Rama had to carry bow and arrows to kill Ravana, but Krishna, without even increasing his size, he used to kill all the demons without any weapon. But, so Krishna is that supremely powerful.
But Ram can still kill Ravan with yes, bare hand. It's possible.
Yeah, but you know.
Just to show.
Just to show comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. You can say like that.
But there was a dharma of fighting with Krishna in
those
battles.
There was a dharma, kshatriya dharma, for Krishna fighting basically. So probably everything. Yeah. No, I mean, Ram can do anything. Ram is not limited. Not like Ram can not kill. Ram can kill with his little finger if he wants. Just go like that. Ram is dead. But he just, they perform lila. Lila means, you know, creates some rasa. You know, if everyone's firing arrows and everything, it makes it more exciting. But not necessary. It's not like Rama is limited like that, but it just shows. Because actually what it's showing is that Krishna is just a cowherd boy. That's what it is showing. Because when he's in the village, in Vrindavan, in the forest, he doesn't carry any weapon. But even when he's a cowherd boy, he can defeat all of those demons just with his hands. So it just shows his potency. Okay. So which verse are we on?
20.
Once while enjoying in the water of the river Narmada, the puffed up Kartavira Arjuna, surrounded by beautiful women and garlanded with a garland of victory, stopped the flow of the water with his arms. So this shows how powerful he is. Stops the whole river. So if you read in the Mahabharata, there's a similar pastime. Now, does anyone remember the Mahabharata? Where the river gets stopped, the Ganges gets stopped?
Bhishma.
Yeah, Bhishma. Bhishma was a young boy. His name was Gangeya, which means he was the son of...
Ganga.
Ganga. So, his father, what was his father's name? Shantanu. So Maharaj Shantanu had not seen his son for a long time. Because his mother, the Ganga, she took him to the Swaga. So he was trained in the Swaga Loka. He was not, and then he came back to earth, and then his father was near the Ganga. You've seen the Ganga in India, how big the Ganga is. He was near the Ganga, and then the Ganga was not flowing. It was just a little bit of water coming. That's very strange. Normally there's so much water. So he walked up the Ganga to find out what was going on, and then Bhishma was there, and with his arrows, he was firing arrows into the river. And he fired so many arrows that he made a dam, a wall, to stop the Ganga from flowing. And then he said to the boy, he said, "Who are you?" Shantanu said. And he said, "I'm your son." I am Gangeya. So he is so powerful. So Bhishma could do this. Kartavirya Arjuna could do this. You have to be a very powerful warrior to do any of this. It's not ordinary. These are like the most powerful, powerful warriors can do this. Only Krishna can do it. It's like in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, we see the pastime where Lord Balaram, he becomes angry with the Kauravas outside of Hastinapur. So he takes his plow and he puts his plow into the ground and he's going to pull the whole city into the Jamuna. Just with his plow, Lord Balaram pulls the whole city. So he's showing his potency. I mean, who can do that? Actually, the Kauravas, they wanted to make him angry. Because they thought, if we make him angry, then we'll see his potency. Because they worshipped him, Lord Balaram. So he grabbed the plow, threw it in the ground, and then he pulled the whole thing. So only God or some very, very powerful entity can do this. These kind of things. Stop the Ganges or pull the city into the ocean. Extremely powerful. These are not ordinary people. So, any points? Because Kartavirya Arjuna made the water flow in the opposite direction, the camp of Ravana, which was set up on the bank of the Narmada near the city of Mahishmati, was inundated. This was unbearable to the ten-headed Ravana, who considered himself a great hero and could not tolerate Kartavirya Arjuna's power. Riyabhanu, you like to read the purport?
Yes. Ravana was obtruding to gain victory over all other countries. And he had camped on the bank of Narmada River near the city of Vishakhapatnam.
So what are the points here?
India was so powerful that Ravan was amazed.
It also shows the degree or the way Kshatriyas would be, like part of their activity is to go for a victory and conquer the others. So Ravana is powerful, Ravana is a powerful person as started going for the victory and conquering others and acquired control.
Anything else?
Camp of Ravana was inundated.
Thank you. Any other points?
Ravana is very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, Ravana is very, very powerful.
Ten-headed.
Yeah, ten-headed. And Kartavirya Arjuna had 1,000 arms. So, we're seeing, there are many pastimes like this in the 10th canto, in the Puranas, in the Mahabharata. So, also there is the pastime where Jarasandha. So, he went to Mathura. And who was the king of Mathura? Kamsa was the in charge. Right? So, Kamsa, he was in charge. So, Jarasandha came. And he thought, I will challenge Kamsa, because I've heard he's very powerful. But Jarasandha was also very powerful. So he had one elephant. What was the elephant's name? Kuvalayapit. A very powerful elephant. And this elephant, Jarasandha captured him with 10,000 other elephants. The one elephant was as strong as 10,000 elephants. So with 10,000 elephants, he had to capture this elephant. So he had the elephant under control. So he thought, I will challenge Kamsa. I will send this elephant, Kublai appeared, into the city, Mathura. And the elephant will go in there and he will smash everything. And when he smashes everything, then he will surrender to me. So he sent the elephant into Mathura. So Kublai appeared, went into Mathura. And then Kamsa heard, there was some noise from the elephant. So he went out and he saw the elephant. So he went over and he grabbed the elephant. And he picked him up and he threw him over the wall. And he landed back in the camp of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, when he saw the elephant come back out, he thought, okay. He thought, Kamsa is very powerful. So Jarasandha went to Kamsa and he said, we should become friends. We should make an alliance. So Jarasandha gave his two daughters to Kamsa for marriage. And that way they, their families joined and they made an alliance. And then they were partners, Jarasandha and Kamsa. So you see here that Ravana, that Kartavir Arjuna, he's challenging him. These are the pastimes, they take place. But you see, some of these persons are very powerful. Kartavir Arjuna is very, very powerful. But in front of Parashuram, then nothing. And Parashuram in front of Ramachandra, he is nothing. So we see here the hierarchy here. Who is the most powerful? As the Bhagavatam is teaching us, who is the most powerful? Ete chamsa kalapumsa. There are many incarnations, but Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. He is the most powerful out of all of them. See, Krishna Chandra Bhagavan, the key.
Right.
Okay, any points?
So,
Yeah, if you read the that verse, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 28, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsa, Krishna's to Bhagavan's word. So this is said to be the key verse of the whole Bhagavatam. So in the purport, it says Krishna has six opulences. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Vyasa Yasha Shahasriya Jnana Vairagyas Chaiva Shanambhaga Itingana. So God has, so each opulence, different incarnations, they represent that opulence. So virya or strength is represented by Nisringadev. So when Krishna shows his strength, he shows like that form of Nisringadev. But Nisringadev is just an incarnation of Krishna. It says in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Nityananda Prabhu, who is non different from Balaram, is the first incarnation of Krishna, is Balaram. The first incarnation of Chaitanya, who is non-different from Krishna, is Nityananda Prabhu. So Chaitanya Bhagavat says that thousands of Nisringadevs do not compare to Nityananda. But Nityananda is so powerful. And Gauranga is the source of Nityananda. So who is the really powerful? It's Krishna. He's the most powerful. So. But to show his strength, then he appears as Nisringha. Narasimha. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a pastime where Krishna and Balaram are arguing with Gaunita. Mother Sachi has a dream. And in the dream, then Krishna and Balaram, the deities, are on the altar. And then Gaunitai, they come into the altar and then they begin to argue. Right? And Nityananda says to Balaram, he says, get off the altar. He said, it is Kali Yuga. He said, you too, you are from Dwapara Yuga. Huh? So your time is finished. So you too, you go. He said, now we will stand on the altar. And Balaram said, who are you? Balaram said, this is my brother Krishna. We are the cowherd boys. We are the supreme power. You two are just brahmanas. You just go like this. And Nityananda said, who will speak to my Gauranga like this? So they're having a whole argument like this. You know, Nityananda and Balaram like this. So Mother Sachi, she woke up in the morning. So then she said to Lord Chaitanya, she said, I had this dream last night and there was some argument going on. And Lord Chaitanya was just smiling. Is it? His pastimes are there. So actually, who is the most powerful? It is Krishna. And you can say Lord Gauranga.
Would you, adding to this, you said that, so then why do we, Yogis said so that when, you know, whenever some fear comes, we think of Pranashimala to protect devotees and everything. So why do we just not worship Krishna? Because every day we are listening to Lord Nishima plays in the morning and the evenings. So why isn't that important to them? Either we can just worship Krishna.
You can do it. You can just worship Krishna. But specifically, we prayed in the Srinidhi to remove obstacles. Because ultimately Krishna, we're worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the path of Raganuga Bhakti. It's like a... Prabhupada actually says that when we worship Radha Vallabha, because it's Radha Krishna, that is Vrindavan. But we're not qualified to worship in Vrindavan at the moment. So Prabhupada says that when we worship Radha Krishna, actually we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Because they are within Radha Krishna, they are accepting our worship. Because we're not qualified to worship Radha Krishna at this point. Because we worship with awe and reverence. And we worship Radha Krishna, but with awe and reverence. So therefore that's actually Vaidhi Bhakti. So actually we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan at this point. Because they are within Radha Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya that our goal is to worship Radha and Krishna, but we're not qualified yet. So therefore we worship Lord Nisringhadev, who is a Vaikuntha deity, so we worship him with awe and reverence. And we beg Nisringhadev to remove our obstacles, our anathas in our heart, so that one day we'll become qualified to worship Radha and Krishna. So that's how we worship Krishna. We pray to him, please qualify us so one day we can worship Radha and Krishna. Shri Nishimide Bhagavan. Any points?
Srila Prabhupada also said the same thing, that whenever there is some danger or some calamity, worship Krishna.
Any other point? Okay. When Ravana attempted to insult Kartavirya Arjuna in the presence of the women and thus offended him, Kartavirya Arjuna easily arrested Ravana and put him in custody in the city of Mahishmati, just as one captures a monkey and then released him neglectfully. So this shows how powerful he is. So powerful. But you have to be careful because the monkeys are strong as well. Just like Hanuman, he came to the Ashokvan where Sita was. And he appeared like he took the small form of a small monkey. And then he came into the Ashokvan. And then he said to Sita, he said, I have come from Ram. And Sita said, no, no, you must be a messenger of Ravana. He said, no, no, no. And then he dropped the ring. And the ring was from Ramachandra. He said, no, this is... And she saw, no, he must come from Ramachandra. So she said, then you send the message to Ram that I am here. And then Ram should come and rescue me. So then Hanuman was very happy because he found Sita. But then, because monkeys are very naughty, So before he left, he wanted to cause some trouble. So he smashed up the whole Ashoka. He broke all the trees and smashed the branches and smashed everything. So then the Rakshasa, who was in charge of the Ashoka on behalf of Ravana, he came there to see what was going on, all the noise. And so he came there and he saw the monkey, and the monkey was running around and jumping, and then he jumped up onto the wall. So then the Rakshasa, he was speaking to the monkey, and he said, "Who are you? You're not an ordinary monkey, because you've broken all these branches and trees and everything." So Hanuman, he weed in his mouth. He passed urine, passed water in his mouth. Because he was saying, "Who are you?" And then he winked. Right? So then, that minister, then he went to Ravan. Ravan said, "What is the problem?" He said, "One monkey has come and he wrecked everything and he weed in my mouth." So then, Ravan, he grabbed that Rakshasa, he slapped him. He said, "Hey," he said, "What are you? You're supposed to be protecting the Ashoka. Some monkey has done all this and then weed in your..." He said, "What sort of a Rakshasa are you? Go and get that monkey." So they went. They took many Rakshasas to capture the monkey. So the monkey could not be caught because he is...
He was strong.
Yeah, he is Hanuman. But he allowed himself to be caught. They threw one Shakti weapon around him, one rope. So they took him into the court of Ravana. Right? And Ravana, he walked in, he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Hanuman." And he said, "I am the general in the army of Ramachandra, and Ramachandra will come and kill you." And Hanuman, he was tied up. He said, "Give me," he said, you should give me a seat. I am general in the army." And Ravan, he said, "No, I will not give you the seat." So then Hanuman, he made himself big, like huge. And he wrapped his tail up and put his tail on the ground and he sat on his tail like a seat. And Ravan said, "What can you do? You have this ropes wrapped around you. What can you do?" So Hanuman just smashed the ropes. And the ropes fell on the ground. Nothing could bind Hanuman. He just allowed himself to be tied. And then he broke the ropes. And he said to Ravan, he said, "I will give you a chance." He said, "If you give back Sita now, Ram will spare your life. Otherwise you will die like a dog on the battlefield." Ravan said, "You cannot speak like this in the court." So he said, "Get his tail, tie his tail up and set fire to his tail." So they wrapped his tail up like that and they set fire to it. But the fire god Agni, he would not burn Hanuman. So his tail did not, it was not burned. But then Hanuman thought, "Now I will cause one more episode of trouble."
Burned the whole
city. Yeah, he jumped all over the city, set fire to the whole city, and then he jumped back to Cape Comorin, back to India. And then he said to Ram, he said, "I found Sita." And then they crossed the ocean and they fought. So Hanuman is very powerful. But it says here, just like a monkey, he was tied up. And actually one time, what year was that? It was 2000? Yeah, 2000. About 15 years ago, I went to Jagannath Puri. And I met His Holiness Satchinandan Swami. And he was chanting every day 64 rounds at Chakraparvat. Do you remember that place? Chakraparvat in Puri? Remember that place? So, you know, the house on top of the hill, Bhaktisananda, remember? Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, the house. So he was chanting 64 rounds there every day. And he said, back then, not so much now, but back then there were quite a few monkeys. And he said he was trying to chant japa every day, but the monkeys were causing problem. So what he did, there was a room there. So he opened the door and he put some bananas there, and the monkey came in and he shut the door. And he left the monkey in there for 2 hours. And the monkey went crazy. Because monkeys, they hate being contained. So the monkey went crazy, and then after 2 hours, he opened the door and let the monkey go. And the monkey ran and told all the other monkeys, don't go there because they lock you in the room. So then he said he had no more problem with the monkeys. So this is the system. So the mind is like a monkey. So sometimes you have to tie the mind up and make it. And actually, we're reading the Ayurveda. There's one part of the Ayurveda that says, if someone is insane, pagal, a crazy person, says, in Ayurveda says, tie them to a tree. If someone's like too crazy, then just tie them to the tree and leave them there. And say, oh, we'll come back in 2 hours. Right? And by being tied to the tree, the crazy person, it helps to control their mind. Right? And bring them all. Sometimes you have to do like this. Sometimes I get Jai Jagannath, I tie him up to the... Now he's better now. But before. Once while Kartavirya Arjuna was wandering, unengaged, in a solitary forest and hunting, he approached the residence of Jamadagni. So, Sri Ram Prabhu.
Kartavirya Arjuna had no business going to the residency of Jamadagni. But because he was puffed up by his extraordinary power, he went there and offered Dakshina. This was the tribute to his being killed by Vasra for his offensive act.
So what are the points here? What's that?
Father.
Yeah. Any other points?
So, happens to the same personality here, which is in the
otherwise,
you will not have advancement in a spiritual life.
What does it
mean? It means that the thing which will destroy your spiritual life more than anyone else is when you cause problems for saintly people. If someone is a saintly person, a sadhu, and if you give some problem to them, or even if you disrespect them, that will cause problems in your spiritual life. So we must always offer respect to the sadhu. And actually all the devotees are sadhu, to different levels. Devotees on different levels of advancement. So it means if you cause problems to the other devotees, or even Rupa Goswami says, even if you give them bad feelings in their heart, you don't even have to do something, but you just make them feel bad, it will cause problems in your spiritual life. So you have to be very careful how we treat the other devotees. Any points? Anything else?
Sometimes those I actually cause harmful feelings to the young guys.
What's the hope? There's no hope. You're finished. No, it means that if you cause some problem to the devotee but you don't realize it, but later on, if you find out that you caused some problem, then you have to apologize.
That's the system.
In the same case, when we of late realize that there is no spiritual progress, or we can feel that we are not advancing in one level in any sense, and we think that we have created some offense, but we don't know to whom we have done that, you know, even that part we don't know, to whom we have created, or we have harmed them. So we don't have any to even go to them and seek pardon. So what we should be doing in that case?
Then you send an email to the GPC. And you ask the GBC to send an email to the whole of ISKCON and say, if there's any devotee that I've offended anywhere, then please forgive me. That's a serious answer. No, it means that generally, it doesn't, generally means, you know, we may commit some small offences, usually. You know, maybe we commit some small offence sometimes. You know, we say something. But it's not big offence. It's not like it's going to stop your whole spiritual life. You know. So, unless you do something really serious, you don't have to worry about it so much. You know, we all, maybe sometimes we say something. Like, sometimes I say something and another devotee might get upset. I don't know. It's not like a big thing. It's like a small problem. Later on, if I find out, then I apologise to the devotee. I say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Do like that. So, you know, it's not like if your spiritual life's struggling, it's probably not because just the fans. It's probably because so many other things. Your material desires, and your material attachments, your anattas, you don't chant properly. And there's probably so many problems. So it's probably not, offense a little bit, but it's not going to stop everything, like, you know.
On that point, is it the Krishna's energy which are trying to obstruct us? We are offending somebody. So Krishna's energies are working.
Yeah, so if you offend a devotee, then Krishna withdraws his mercy. So it means you will not get mercy from Krishna. So you have to be careful. Yeah, but then why can't you go to the devotee and just ask for forgiveness?
No, in case if that's not possible for some reason, like that's
what we
said.
Why is it not possible? Yeah, okay, if you don't know, that's different. But if you know, then you have to find the devotee.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't know, that's different. Yeah. But if you know, then you have to find the devotee. That's the point. You can't say, oh, you know, okay, I just realized I offended this devotee. But I'll just read this pastime and then I'll be finished. Then Krishna won't do that. If you know and you don't ask that devotee for forgiveness, so then you can say, well, the devotee's in the other country. So then get on Skype or something. Offer your obeisances on Skype on the floor. So the devotee can see you. Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if the devotee has done something, if you're hurt by your action, it's sometimes hard to look them in the face. So, like, how to deal? It's hard to forgive them. Like, how to deal with that?
Or they took the last burpee or something. No, it means that if you feel hurt to it by another devotee, then you go to that devotee and you say, Prabhu, I feel hurt. And then talk about it and try to work it out. What's the big problem? Yeah, so go to them and say, you know, I think it's really silly, but a long time ago you said this and it really hurt me, and it was 10 years ago, and every morning when I get up in the morning it still hurts me, So now I want to talk about it and reconcile it. Is it okay? It can't be such a big deal, can it? It can't be such a big problem. So if you're talking about it. Chicken? Any other point?
The sage Jamadagni, who was engaged in great austerities in the forest, received the king very well, along with the king's soldiers, ministers, and carriers. He supplied all the necessities to worship these guests, for he possessed a Kamadhenu cow that was able to supply everything. So Janeshwara.
Brahma Samhita informs us that the spiritual world, and especially the planet Goloka of Vrindavan, where Krishna is full of Surabhi of Abhinupalayam. The Surabhi cow is called Kamadhenu. Although Ramadagni possessed only one Kamadhenu, he was able to get from it everything desirable. Thus he was able to receive the king, along with the king's great number of followers, ministers, soldiers, animals, and balancing things. When we speak of the king, we understand that he is accompanied by many followers. Jamadagni was able to receive all the king's followers properly and feed them sumptuously with food prepared in the field. The king was astonished at how popular Jamadagni was because he possessed only one cow, and therefore he became envious of the great sage. This was the beginning of his kingdom. Parashurama, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, killed Kartivirajan because Kartivirajan was too proud. One may possess unusual opulence in this material world, but if one becomes puffed up and acts whimsically, he will be punished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the lesson to learn from this history, in which Parashurama became angry at Kartivirajan and killed him, and with the entire world of Kshatriya 21 times.
And what are the points? Anything else? So you have to use your wealth in Krishna's service. Okay. Good. Interesting point. Aniruddha Prabhu told me the other day, the devotees who give donations to the temple, most of the donations come from the devotees who are not initiated. The devotees who are initiated, they give less money than the devotees who are not initiated. Interesting point. Sounds like there's something wrong. The devotees who are initiated, they should be giving more money to the temple, one would think. But they give less money to the temple. So something to think about. Because it says you get purified when you give donations. And devotees get initiated, they stop giving donations. It seems strange. Maybe they're too advanced or something. Any points?
I think you always keep an eye on this pride, because many times you don't realize. So always constant guidance from the seniors for progress is good, or it is more than years, because from the seniors we can get guidance, and the juniors will always rise. So we keep good relationship with years,
then he'll be able to tell us the
situation. Otherwise, he'll continue to be grounded and then he can cause a problem.
Any other points?
You have a ghost team. Devotees, ghost team, used to have before. Something like that too. discussing problems.
Mm.
So everybody knows the feeling of the administration.
It's a good point. You can suggest it to the administration. So, it has been mentioned here that envy is the downfall of the conditioned soul. And matsara, because the Bhagavad Gita is for those who are nirmatsara. Nirmatsara means those who are free from envy. So if you are envious, you stay in the material world. So it says here that envy is the reason why we stay in the material world. So Kartavirya Arjuna, he was envious of Jamadagni because he had a cow which he wanted. And because of that envy, he committed offense. And because of offense, he stayed caught in the material world. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching us to become offenseless. Do not offend the devotees. Actually, there are four types of aparad: jiva aparad, Vaishnava aparad, nama aparad, and seva aparad. So jiva aparad means if you offend any living entity, jana aparad or jiva aparad means any living entity, then there are reactions, and you stay in the material world. So you have to give up envy for everyone. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. So if you are proud, Krishna will diminish your pride, because that's what happens here. Kartavirya Arjuna is proud, so Parashuram diminishes. He humiliates him, or he cuts down his pride. So similarly, if we are proud, then the Lord will come and he will cut down our pride. He will reduce our pride. That's the system. And we know that because it happens to us every time. Whenever we get proud, Krishna is there straight away to diminish everything. Any points?
What is
seva aparad? Means when you're worshipping the deity. Like if you're unclean or if you're late or any of those things. Prabhupada said the two most important things in deity worship are cleanliness and punctuality. So if you're late to come to the Bhaktivedanta class or to worship the deity, or if you're unclean, then that is seva aparad. There's many. If you read chapter 8 of the Nectar of Devotion, there are many seva aparads. Any points?
This applies to the deities at home and we serve
the deities. The deities.
Sometimes we get up
and we're doing the deities. So you go and talk to your deities between you and them. But the thing is, if you become too neglectful, you'll get reactions. If you become too slack and lazy. Actually, I heard one sannyasi say recently, deity worship is actually for vanaprastas. Because grihasthas have got too much going on in their house. Half the time, the deities don't even get looked after properly. Because grihasthas have got kids and they've got so many things going on. So he said it's better for the grihasthas just to have pictures. If you have deities in your home, you have to worship them nicely. Otherwise, you may be committing offenses. You have to be careful. So it's between you and the deities. But if you're neglectful, that's offense. And then, any other point? This way. Yeah, it's better to be proud than envious, but it's better to be not proud or envious. That's better. I mean, it's like, you know, we're talking about just give up both qualities. That's the point.
Yeah, you can say it's better to have one and not the other, but what's the point? What's the use of being proud or being envious? Both of them don't. If you're proud or envious, you can't go back to Krishna. So you have to give up both qualities. So you say one's better or one's worse, then it doesn't make so much sense.
I think the point there is never be envious. Even if you're proud, that's okay. Don't be envious.
Yeah, but it's not okay to be proud, because if you're proud, you can't go back to Krishna. Krishna says that Krishna doesn't tolerate pride. You see in the pastimes of the 10th canto, when Krishna kills each of the demons represents a different anartha. So some represent pride and envy and all these things. So Krishna doesn't tolerate any of these qualities in the devotee. So you have to give it all up.
Isn't envy the byproduct of love?
I mean, you can analyze it in different ways, but envy is the cause of why we're in this material world. So. You can analyze one becomes from the other and like that, but better we just give up all of these qualities. Okay. Kartavir Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kamadhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Hihayas, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kamadhenu, which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, what is the real opulence of human society?
Ghee.
Ghee? Yep. What else? Yep. Having cows, serving the cows, yeah. What else? Yeah. Yep. What is real opulence? Prabhupada says if you have milk and grains, that is opulence. So the cows give us all of our opulence, the cows and the bulls. Because the bulls give the grains and the cows give the milk. And if you have that, then you are opulent. Because it says Jamadagni with one cow, because Kamadhenu was giving like unlimited milk. He had unlimited ghee. And everything they cooked was in ghee. So back in the Vedic times, that was considered very opulent. You see, in India these days, it's hard to get ghee. It's hard. All the ghee is cut. Either it's buffalo ghee, or they put something else in it. Or it's, to get pure ghee, it's actually difficult. It's not easy.
Too much contamination. Too much.
Yeah, too much. Like, it's hard to get the real ghee. But if you can get it, it's considered very opulent. In Kali Yuga, it becomes more difficult to get pure ghee. Being puffed up by his material power, Kartavir Arjuna encouraged his men to steal Jamadagni's Kamadhenu. Thus the men forcibly took away the crying Kamadhenu, along with her calf, to Mahishmati, Kartavir Arjuna's capital. So he became attached to sense gratification. Why did he want the cow? And so he could enjoy himself. The Prabhupada points out that everything that we possess should be used for Krishna's pleasure. Yeah, so. So if you have a cow, you take the milk and the ghee, and you offer the milk and ghee to
Krishna.
Who to, Brinda? Very good. You offer the milk and the ghee to Krishna. So that is the point. So Jamadagni, he was sinful. Right? He wanted to take the cow for his own sense gratification. Parashuram would not tolerate that. And this is one point, that you should never waste prasadam. Prasadam is sacred. You should never waste it. Don't throw it in the bin. Don't do all these things. You see, devotees sometimes, I see, they don't finish their prasad. It's actually aparad. So whatever's on your plate, you must finish that. If you can't eat it, then you take it later. Right? Worst case scenario, then you give it to the fish. You take it to the ocean or something like that. But you don't just throw it away. So, that is the system.
And especially milk, because milk is sacred. It is liquid religion, it is Dharma itself. So you don't just, sometimes I see devotees pour milk down the drain or something. Or you can't do that. Milk is like holy food. So any prasad you should not waste, but especially milk product, anything made from milk, then that is considered, it's an offense. So you have to be very careful about not offending prasad. Very good. Save up. TK?
In last verse, Prabhupada mentioned the Gaurakshas also.
Yeah.
Cow protection.
Cow protection. Yeah. So please give donations to Hare Krishna Valley.
Yeah.
And protect our cows. Actually, tomorrow is the last day of the month of Purushottama. And it says if you've performed any brat, to get the benefit of your brat, you have to give charity to get the benefit. When the month is finished, then you have to give dakshina. So very auspicious, you give to the cows. That's the highest. You saw during the Purushottamas that Koma Rubrabhu left his body. That devotee in Vrindavan. He was in charge of the cows. He started the Care for Cow program. So he left his body in Purushottamas on the Ekadashi, the most holy, holy, holy time. And all the devotees are saying, he got such an auspicious benefit, such an auspicious departure, because he dedicated his whole life to cow seva, go seva. That's how auspicious it is. So if you want to give donation to Hare Krishna Valley, to our beautiful cows. And you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. TK? Thereafter, Kartavir Arjuna, having left with the Kamadhenu, Parashuram returned to the ashram. When Parashuram, the youngest son of Jamadagni, learned about Kartavir Arjuna's nefarious deed, he became as angry as a trampled snake. Taking up his fierce chopper, his shield, his bow and a quiver of arrows, Lord Parashuram, exceedingly angry, chased Kartavir Arjuna just as a lion chases an elephant. As King Kartavir Arjuna entered his capital, Mahishmati Puri, he saw Lord Parashuram, the best of the Bhrigu dynasty, coming after him, holding a chopper, shield, bow and arrows. Lord Parashuram was covered with a black deer skin, and his matted locks of hair appeared like the sunshine. Upon seeing Parashuram, Kartavir Arjuna immediately feared him and sent many elephants, chariots, horses and infantry. Soldiers equipped with clubs, swords, arrows, rishtis, shataghnis, shaktis, and many similar weapons to fight against him. Kartavir Arjuna was sent 17 full akshahonis of soldiers to check Parashuram, but Lord Parashuram alone killed all of them. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper, Parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. By manipulating his axe and arrows, Lord Parashuram cut to pieces the shields, flags, bows and bodies of Kartavir Arjuna's soldiers, who fell on the battlefield, muddying the ground with their blood. Seeing these reverses, Kartavir Arjuna, infuriated, rushed to the battlefield. Then Kartavir Arjuna, with his 1,000 arms, simultaneously fixed arrows on 500 bows to kill Lord Parashuram. But Lord Parashuram, the best of fighters, released enough arrows with only one bow to cut to pieces immediately all the arrows and bows in the hands of Kartavir Arjuna. When his arrows were cut to pieces, Kartavir Arjuna uprooted many trees and hills with his own hands and again rushed strongly toward Lord Parashuram to kill him. But Parashuram then used his axe with great force to cut off Kartavir Arjuna's arms, just as one might lop off the hoods of a serpent. Thereafter, Parashuram cut off like a mountain peak the head of Kartavir Arjuna,
who had already lost his arms. When Kartavirya Arjuna's 10,000 sons saw their father killed, they all fled in fear. Then Parashuram, having killed the enemy, released the Kamadhenus, which had undergone great suffering, and brought it back with its calf to his residence, where he gave it to his father, Jamadagni. Parashuram described to his father and brothers his activities in killing Kartavirya Arjuna. Upon hearing of these deeds, Jamadagni spoke to his son as follows. O great hero, my dear son, Parashuram, you have unnecessarily killed the king, who is supposed to be the embodiment of all the demigods. Thus you have committed a sin. My dear son, we are all brahmanas and have become worshipable for the people in general because of our quality of forgiveness. It is because of this quality that Lord Brahma, the supreme spiritual master of this universe, has achieved his post. The duty of a brahmana is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. My dear son, killing a king who is an emperor is more severely sinful than killing a brahmana. But now if you become Krishna conscious and worship the holy places, you can atone for this great sin. Srila Prabhupada ki.